The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Now, schools and some classes catering for children with physical and intellectual disabilities could reopen as early as this day next week. For more on this, I am joined by Josepha Madigan, who, of course, is a Fine Gael TD. She is Minister of State at the Department of Education with responsibility for special education and inclusion. Minister, you're very welcome to the Hard Shoulder. What exactly is planned for next week?
Thank you, Kieran. Today I met with primary and special education stakeholders this morning. And in essence, we're working towards a phased return for children in special schools and return to schools for those in special classes in primary schools next Thursday, and also children with significant additional needs in mainstream primary classes. So that's Thursday, the 21st of January. And Kieran, I've always been determined to ensure that the education and personal development of students with special education needs are fully supported as we continue to combat the spread of COVID-19. It's been so difficult, as you can imagine, for families with children with special needs. And, you know, remote working, whilst in some cases it can be useful, it's just not good for children with special needs. So we really wanted to get a one-on-one, in-person, in-school type of education. So, I'm glad that those needs and those calls for that in-person provision was recognised and accepted by the government. And that commitment to achieving that agreement never really wavered. So there have been quite a considerable amount of meetings with key stakeholders from the primary school and the special school sector this week. And this morning's meeting really was very positive as well. So in all, there's been a very collaborative, consultation between everybody. And so we're working towards this phased return now next Thursday. So it should give some certainty and some comfort to families out there who have children with special needs. Because when there is a child with special needs in a family, it affects everybody. And it's really, really difficult for parents, particularly when they're working, to try and look after a child with additional needs. So okay. It is a positive day today.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of people will consider it good news. When you talk about a phased return, like how quickly do you expect all children who fall into this category to be back getting some type of education in school?
Yeah, so all of that has been worked out, the detail of it. It may well be that some schools, for example, decide to have 50% in on certain days and 50% of other days. But all of that is currently being worked on and will be worked on over the next week. And I hope that then we'll be able to set out a pathway for the return of all children to schooling at the start of February. But obviously that will be subject, of course, to government and public health considerations that particular time. But I think it's important to say that even in that interim period, there are some remote learning supports available for children with special needs from the National Council for Special Education. There are dedicated advisors there. There is a phone line there where teachers can ring up. And there's obviously, you know, videos, and there's a visiting teacher service as well. But all of those really We're only a plan B, because ultimately, as I said, we really need to get those children in a school environment. One size doesn't fit all. It doesn't work for every student. So remote learning really is suboptimal when you're talking about kids with special needs.
I appreciate you say, look at all the detail has to be worked out, but who's going to do the working out? Is that between, you know, stakeholders and the Department of Education, or is that to be worked out on an individual basis by schools, by school principals, by the teachers themselves, that they'll work out, you know, who comes in and when?
Yeah. So, well, in the first instance, so for example, even the meeting this morning with the National Parents Association were present, Educate Together, the Irish Primary Principals Network, NAMSI, which effectively is all the boards of management. There was the Muslim Education Board, there was Enforce Patronata, there was FORSA, there was the teachers' unions as well, and the Catholic Primary School Management Association. So all of those in the first instance, and then obviously it comes down to the individual school. But guidelines are going out to schools today as to how they want to work it, really. But, I mean, I think it's important that we, I mean, it's a much smaller cohort when you're talking about, you know, other children that don't have additional needs out there. So you're only talking about 18,000 children, really, who are in specialised settings in Ireland. So there's about maybe just over 10,000 special classes, and there's about another 8,000 in special schools. So we are going to be able to do it, we hope, with the help of all the education partners, in terms of the, you know, with the public health, you know, and the pandemic that we're facing at the moment as well. And every single resource will be used to help these children, because, I mean, these schools are open in Northern Ireland, the special classes are open, it's the same in the UK and in other countries around Europe as well. So it's important that, you know, even in light of the mother baby home issue that we're talking about the other day, that we look after our most vulnerable. And these children are the most vulnerable in Ireland, and often they were hidden away, and you know, people turned a blind eye to their needs. And I think it's you know, it shows the times that we're living in that we are taking it seriously and their needs seriously. And even though it's only a partial school opening, I think it's a positive development today.
Well, what public health advice have you taken? Because what some teachers and special needs assistants and others got in touch with us about last week when we were talking about this was the fact that public health advice around schools, and that schools are safe and the transmission of the virus is so low amongst children, is based on the idea of pods and social distancing, and that system breaks down to a large degree in some of these special needs settings, that the children, through no fault of their own, absolutely, but just through virtue of some of their acute needs, that it's impossible for them to socially distance and impossible to stay in pods. And therefore, a lot of these teachers and SNAs and others were questioning the public health advice with regard to special needs schools. I mean, what is the advice you've gotten?
Yeah, and first of all, I do understand concerns from teachers, and indeed from SNAs, and obviously our job in government, and certainly my job as Minister for Special Education, is to reassure them, first of all, that schools are safe environments. And, you know, Dr. Ronan Glynn has consistently said that international evidence shows that child-to-child and child-to-adult transmission in schools is uncommon. But to your particular question, when you're asking about special schools, ENFIT inspected 49 special settings, and the CMO said, you know, the original lockdown was to reduce travel, not because schools are unsafe. So this, as I said earlier, is a very small number of students. I mean, even if we think of an ASD unit or a special class, there's usually only six pupils in one class, with two SNAs and with a teacher, and the SNAs and the teachers will all have access to PPE, obviously, and they will have medical grade masks, which the SNAs would wear in the normal course of events anyway for intimate needs for those children. So all the resources that went into the reopening of the schools back in August, you know, there was 440 million, and a considerable amount of that went towards special schools and special classes. So, you know, and obviously, if there's a high-risk child or a high-risk teacher, there's, you know, the enhanced occupational health care service there for them as well, if there are particular issues that they have around that. And obviously, if the children are at very high risk, there's designated teachers, which will ensure continuity of learning as well, through home tuition, if that has to happen. But overall, we are satisfied that, you know, schools aren't amplification settings, as we call them, they're not significant drivers of COVID. They're always much, much lower than in the community. And in fact, we would say that schools are way safer than people's homes. So often the COVID comes from someone's home into the school as opposed to from the school into the home. And, you know, obviously, these are issues that we've been discussing at length with our education partners, and ensuring that they're you know, satisfied with everything. And even when you think about the transport for children with special needs, they're often, you know, not, parents aren't meeting or congregating or, you know, hanging around in groups, because they're often on buses with masks, or sometimes without masks, but they're all sanitized, because some children, obviously, particularly with special needs and particularly with autism, wouldn't feel comfortable wearing a mask. So obviously the teachers and the SNAs need to make sure that they feel comfortable and that they feel that they're, you know, that they're safe.
A lot of people, like I said, will welcome this as good news. It does beg the question whether all this was avoidable. You know, that surely this plan could have been put in place before the closure of schools last week.
Yeah, and you know, that there has always been continued engagement with the education partners from the very beginning of this pandemic. And I'm just out of the Dáil. Literally, we were in there for the last 2 hours, and Minister Foley also was talking about her continued engagement as Minister for Industrial Relations.
I appreciate that, but we've spoken to the other stakeholders, and they say the engagement has been minimal, and there has been no plan, and that is why everyone, including yourself, with all due respect, Minister, were at sixes and sevens last week.
No, I can understand why you're saying that, and I think it was really regrettable. I only found out myself on Thursday evening that the schools weren't going to open on the Monday, but you know, there has been constant engagement on a weekly basis, and that's obviously been accelerated.
Then why did this happen?
Number of weeks.
Like, if there was such a high level of engagement, as you say, and as the department say, they got in touch with us in the show last week to make sure that we read out a statement saying that there was this huge level of engagement.
Yeah.
I mean, it just begs the question: why did this happen if there was such a high level of engagement?
No, I appreciate that. I'm not going to speak on behalf of the education partners. You know, they can speak for themselves. But you know, as far as the department is concerned, and as far as I'm concerned, we had given as much reassurance as we could. Minister Foley then announced that she wasn't going ahead because there hadn't been full agreement from everybody, and there are so many constituent parts when you're talking about education. You're talking about getting schools back for whatever section it is, whether it's children with special needs or indeed the entire education system.
It's because of the leave insert, isn't it? You made a hames of the leave insert. You kind of foisted that on everyone without any planning, with any pre-warning. And then when you had to can that, you ended up having to can this as well.
Yeah, well, the leave insert isn't under my remit, and I'm not aware.
That is kind of what happened. No, but I appreciate it. But I suppose that special needs students ended up being collateral damage when the plan to bring leave inserters back to
school. Well, you know, regardless of what happened, we are where we are, and you know, this is positive news today. And you know, there's been a considerable amount of work over the last week to ensure that that we get back next Thursday. But what's really important for me, and I'm the very first Minister for Special Education, is that this doesn't happen again, and that, you know, at the end of the day, the, you know, special education staff are on the priority list as essential workers. They are essential workers, and you know, I think it's an essential service that we continue to have that provision for children with special needs, so that this doesn't arise again. So even if we get this back in a phased way first and eventually into full capacity, I want to do everything that I can in my power to ensure that it doesn't arise again into the future.
You mentioned some of the other stakeholders, and I want to get to them in just a moment, but before I let you go, Minister, just a final question. I think safely assume those stakeholders will mention vaccinations and getting teachers vaccinated as a priority. What's your view on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, they are, as I just said, you know, special education staff are on the priority list as essential workers. But, you know, we have written to the Department of Health in terms of rolling out the vaccination plan, and you know, we've written to them about the programme. But the school community itself is on the priority list, but there is continued engagement with the Department of Health about rolling that out and seeing if we can accelerate it in any way. But you know, at the moment, there's 40,000 vaccinations to staff and residents in long-term care facilities, and then to healthcare workers, and they're all on schedule. And then there's the 180 nursing homes, and there's about, I think, 70,000 residents and staff.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the mental health and disability settings as well for the over the 65. So, you know, there are a number of other people as well. There are so many different competing, you know, people, as you know, trying to do this. And it also doesn't, you know, it's important to say, as I said earlier, that schools are safe environments, and they are. So, and you know, there are other essential workers out there every day, Gardaí, and you know, supermarket workers and people like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, we appreciate your time, Minister of State with special responsibility for special education and inclusion, Josephine Manigan, Fine Gael TD, of course, as well. We thank you for your time. John Boyle is the General Secretary of the Teachers Union, the INTO. John, do you welcome today's announcement?
We did. I agree with the minister there, Kieran, that this is a positive story. There's no doubt about that. But I think maybe we need to just reflect briefly, very briefly, on the rocky road since a week ago. And what actually happened was, you know, you mentioned the various engagements that we've had. We were working really, really closely with the Department of Education and their officials for many, many months. It was a collaborative effort to get the schools reopened, to keep them open safely for 80 days. That changed last Monday. Somebody decided to break the speed limit on the bus. We stayed on the bus until Wednesday, and at the stage we got on Wednesday, when we were really realising that government was going to fire ahead without talking to us at all about any provision for children with special educational needs for last Monday, a couple of days' notice, no planning in place that we could see anyway, no engagement, no consultation. But I think we were all bigger than this. You know, on that bus we had the school managerial bodies from primary and secondary. We had the various unions for Force Ourselves, ASDI, TRI. We were all bigger than the mistake that was made, and we got back together on Friday, and we're here now, only a few days later. We have a plan in place for the vulnerable children. It's a limited support in school at a time of great uncertainty, I suppose, with the virus at the moment. Hopefully the numbers are going down again this evening. But I think it's really important for those children that they will be back face-to-face with their teachers and their SNAs in their schools. Now, obviously, the plan is not fully baked. It couldn't have been in that short time. We have further engagement tomorrow. There are some outstanding issues. The government really needs to get its messaging right about the vaccine for special education staff. You know, you have the Taoiseach basically saying, I think on your programme actually earlier this week, that the teachers in special ed settings and SNAs were going to be prioritised up at number 6 on the list, whilst it still hasn't been given to any union in writing, and it looks like we're still languishing down at number 11. So that is a key issue. And why is it so key? It's key because it's a sign of a good employer. It's a sign of an employer that says, if key workers are up at number 6 on the list, and if schools are so essential, and I believe that they are to be opened, and particularly for the children with the special needs, there's a different level of care provided by a teacher or an SNA in these settings. And I think we need to get that one sorted. We have a few other issues as well to work through tomorrow, Kieran. But I think for the teachers and the SNAs, what we really need as well is improved communication. You know, this was announced today, but the detail hasn't arrived in schools, to my knowledge, as of yet. And that's something we really need to get right for tomorrow.
All right.
Well, because there's only three or four more days for planning after that.
Yeah, we hope it arrives in a timely manner tomorrow. John, we appreciate your time. John Boyle, General Secretary of the INTO. Linda is on the line. Linda lives in Dublin and she has a 12-year-old son with autism. Linda, I understand you as well are a frontline worker. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a central worker. Yeah, I work in Cabris and Coola.
Okay, so you're an essential worker. So you have had to go to work over the last week, is that right?
Yeah, I've had to go to work since all this happened. We all had to, like, as far as I'm concerned, Ciarán, once we leave our hall door, we're at risk. Everyone is at risk of this virus. So we are class essential workers, so I'm like the teachers as well.
And how difficult then has it been for you to cope with the fact that your 12-year-old son hasn't been in school?
To be honest with you, Ciarán, it's a living nightmare. I'll just go back to the first lockdown. The first lockdown, he regressed. He's 12 years of age and he's back in nappies at the moment. He would do a lot of biting. He would reach me here. He would do a lot of tacking. He got quite violent. The doctor had to put him on sleeping tablets because, I'll just give you an example, he could wake up at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning and wouldn't go to sleep till Tuesday night about 9. So we would have to stay awake. We would take turns, you know. All the frames was off my drawers. He had everything broke. Tellies have been smashed. Tablets have been smashed. Phones, you name it. And it was all due to the forced lockdown because kids with special needs need to be in school because everything is routine and structured. And unfortunately, when they're out of that routine, life can be hell.
And has this lockdown, this experience of the last week, been the same? I appreciate it's been a lot shorter, but was it looking like it was going to be a repeat?
a half, because the week before Christmas, before they got their Christmas holidays, my son was sent home from school because he had a cough. I mean, there to procedures, he has to be sent home if you have a cold and a cough. I understand that. He was actually okay, but because he was out of his routine the week before, he kind of regressed, and then he was on his 2 week holiday. So the last couple of weeks have been a nightmare, and now because he hasn't gone back to school over the holidays, it's been extremely difficult.
And with all that in mind then, Linda, how relieved are you that at least he might be returning to some level of schooling next week? It won't be a full school day, Monday to Friday, but there'll be some schooling.
Well, I haven't been in talks with anybody, so I'm not going to get my hopes up until that day actually comes, because we were let down last week. I mean, less than 24 hours after that decision was made that the children were going back to school, and then it was reversed. Like, you know, it was terrible. It really was awful, because like, your child doesn't matter. I do think the kids, especially, they're just left there. You know, they're just put aside. You know, my son hasn't got a voice, so I'm his voice, and he needs to be in school for routine and structure. Like, until you have a child with special needs, you do not know. And, like, the way I look at it is one-size-fits-all approach doesn't exist in relation to children with special needs when it comes to their education, because they are left aside.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, Linda, I do hope it works out well for you the way you're hoping next week. Linda there, whose 12-year-old son has autism and, of course, has been directly impacted by the closure of schools. Lorraine Dempsey is also on the line, and Lorraine is a parent. She's a special needs advocate as well, a regular contributor to this show and others. Lorraine, are you relieved at today's announcement, or like Linda, kind of, will the proof be in the pudding and you'll wait and see how things turn out next week?
Yeah, I think, Ciarán, look, the biggest difference is to see all of the educational partners and stakeholders around the table and saying that there is at least a commitment to put a plan in place. You know, so I'm pleased in respect to that, but I'm not going to be telling my own daughter that she's going to be in school Thursday week or anything like that. I just can't do it again and face kind of the, you know, just her disappointment and not being able to understand why. I mean, look, we already have 100 times a day the question, when's this virus over, since last March. But so I can't do that to her psychologically. We'll just have to keep going. But in a broader sense, I suppose, what I'd be worried about is parents' expectations of what this means. So, you know, the talks are that this would be a safe basis. You know, look, we know COVID is dangerous and we know there's risk there. And what I'd like to see is that the department both enables and allows the schools the flexibility to make their individual assessments on both their staff and their pupils, their environment, their transport. What are the risks and what is feasible to put in place for children, and whether that's on a sessional basis, AM, PM, whether with transport they can get, the department can fund more buses so that they don't have shared transport services, which is a concern where you have children in two special schools maybe sharing one bus. Possibly that parents are asked if they live closer to a school that they don't avail a special transport to allow more space for those children that have longer distances. So I think we all need to be flexible if we want this to work. I can't envisage something 5 days a week for absolutely everybody, but I think we need to prioritise the children who benefit most. But we also need to be very mindful of the children with complex medical needs who cannot attend school, and what arrangements are going to be put in for those, whether they're high risk or very high risk. So we need to make sure that everybody's catered for in this new arrangement.
Yeah, listen, Lorraine, we appreciate your time. Lorraine Dempsey, special needs advocate. We also heard from Linda, whose son, whose 12-year-old son, has autism, from John Boyle of the INTO, and Josepha Madigan, Minister of State with responsibility for special education.